Forward in Faith, it's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loren Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us as Loren gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. This broadcast is sponsored by Just a Minute, a 60-second word of inspiration by Dr. Tim Hill, General Overseer for the Church of God. Take a moment and enjoy this encouraging message.
When talking to his disciples about forgiveness one day, Jesus said, "You should be willing to forgive your neighbor over and over and over again." And did you know there is a great prescription for forgiving someone and getting rid of offenses in your life? First of all, don't nurse it. Secondly, don't rehearse it. But then thirdly, just disperse it. And then finally, let God reverse it. The Bible said that when Job prayed for his friends, God turned the tables on his life. I'm praying for you to be able to forgive someone who has offended you today so that you can walk freely in Christ Jesus. I love you, praying for you every day, and I look forward to seeing you again for just a minute.
And now, here's Loren Livingston.
Probably been through the same kinds of stuff this week, but he brought us back. Here we are. And the Spirit of God, you know, as much as I know His voice, God knows I am not a super spiritual person. But as much as I know God's voice, I heard Him say to me this morning, to all of you who are fighting a fight, stand down. Now, that's a military term for drop your weapons, back up. The battle is the Lord's. Now, and for all of you, what did I say? You analysts. You analyze every situation. You figured out why this happened and how you can fix this and get out of it. The Holy Spirit of God wants me to tell you to shut down your computer, your mental computer, because this is past you. But God already knows how it's going to come out. The things, if you are honest, the things you fight for and stay in turmoil about, it's like we're in a tornado all the time, are things that are going to burn up. What you do have cannot be taken from you. You have your salvation, your God, and all that God gave you and you put into His hand, God will take care of. We worry too much. We Christians worry too much about losing money and making money. We worry too much about what people think rather than what our God thinks of us. So stand down. But Pastor, if I don't fight this fight, who will? God will. But they're trying to take this. Let them have it. They can't take anything if God doesn't want them to take anything. But you are wasting energy and time fighting a worldly battle that the Lord said He would take care of if you would put your eyes on Him. I need for somebody to respond to me right now. There's too much going to court, too much calling a lawyer,
too much, preacher, too much.
Is that how you're going to spend the rest of your life fighting some earthly battle about some tangible thing that can't make you happy if you have it. And if you don't have it, it can't make you sad. So having said those things, it's in your lap. Those words were a gift from God. That today you can just drop it and go on and serve the Lord and watch Him do it. I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture. Almost hidden away in the Old Testament. A minor prophet by the name of Micah. And I'll be dogged if it doesn't. Well, that wasn't a very pastoral thing to say, was it? Well, you got to understand, that's about as sophisticated as I am anyway. Father, I love you. I don't love you the way I want to. My desire is to love you more and to love you with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I do want to love you that way. But I thank you for loving me that way. And I pray now that as your word is distributed, that it will be received with gladness and that it will indeed change us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. I'm really happy you came today. Now, Brother Micah is describing a situation in Israel that seems rather bleak, hopeless. It's kind of depressing. So I'm just going to draw out three or four things he says about his nation, about his life, where he is. Watch this. He says, we can't even trust our friends now. He says, don't put your confidence in anybody. Guard your mouth. They're going to repeat everything you say. There are no secrets. We're living in a time when nobody trusts the government. Nobody trusts each other. But it's worse than that, he says. It's bad at the house. Son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In fact, he said, it looks like a man's enemies are the men of his own household. Now, that's pretty bad. From out there to in there, that's bad. The next word gives you his decision about what he will do in these tumultuous times. He said, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Let's slow down a little bit here and understand what this man is saying. And this is why it affects me so deeply. When things are bad, all the way to the house, you have nowhere else to go. He says, and as long as I watch this mess my family is in, this mess my government is in, my nation, I'm going to stay down. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. And I will wait for the God of my salvation. That's important. He says, I'm not going to get busier trying to fix things. I'm going to do the most irresponsible thing I can. and that is nothing, and I'm going to look at the Lord. I am withdrawing myself from all of the machinations of this process. I am sheathing my sword. I am pulling away. This is bigger than I am. And I am going to look up and wait on God. God already has it figured out. Everything I put my hand to seems to get worse. One bad decision creates a need for another decision, which is also bad. When I try to fix it with my mouth, I'm misunderstood. When I try to use my intellect to solve the problem, it just gets bigger. So I'm just going to look to God, and I'm going to wait. I don't know how long I'll have to wait, but I'm going to wait. Because my God will hear me. Now something, the devil, while you're waiting on God, assumes that this is an opportunity to break you down. Now, if I have to cough through this sermon, I'm going to do it. All right? He ain't breaking me down this morning. So after he made the decision to look to the Lord and wait for God, he then understands, because he's been this before, that something always happens when he starts looking up. So he says to his enemy, wherever you are, enemy, wherever you've hidden yourself, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Don't get too happy right now. Don't think I'm down and out. Don't think I've given up. My prayers may be weaker and my eyes red from tears, but don't you dare think that I'm done. When I fall, I will arise. I will get back up. Not because I'm strong, but because he is. Satan, you ought to know that I've been here before. You thought you had me then, but I'm still standing. And if I go down this time, it won't be for long, because I will arise. Say amen. When I sit in darkness... Anybody ever been in darkness? Yes, sir. I will tell you right now that I have actually begged God not to ever let me go there again. And if there's ever a time that I feel I'm slipping into that dark place, I panic. I'm afraid of it. I've been in that dark place. In that dark place, I don't trust myself. And I don't trust anybody else. I feel like I don't even trust God when I'm in that dark place. And why he would let one of his own go there, I don't know. I don't question why you do it, Lord. I'm just asking you, don't let me go back. But God understands that we cannot know him until we get to such a place that we are hopeless. And he found out, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. The only one that can help me, the only one that understands me, the only one that can open my eyes is the Lord. And until I get in that dark place, I still might be looking to my wife or my preacher or my mother.
Come on, preacher.
As long as I'm not down there. I feel like somebody can help me out here if I just make the right contact. But God has to get you to the place that you say, there is nobody. And then God begins to lighten your life. And he takes responsibility as well. He says, I'm to blame for a lot of this. Because I talked when I shouldn't have. I acted when I knew better. I disregarded the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I got involved in stuff that messed me up spiritually. He said, it's my fault. It's my nation's fault. We didn't trust God. We turned to idol gods. We've depended on the hand and strength of man. We've fallen in love with money. We thought things would make us happy. We wanted to appear successful. He said, I bear responsibility for being in this hole. If I had looked at him the whole time, he wouldn't have had to let me go here. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. He said, I understand, Lord. I understand what you have to do to me at times because I have sinned against him. Look me dead in these bloodshot eyes. Surely there's not a person in here that says, I have not sinned against the Lord. Is there? You sinned before the day was 3 hours old, ladies and gentlemen. Don't push me there. Don't make me go there this morning. But anybody that says, I don't have any sin in my life right now, you don't even know you. You don't even know what the sin is in your life. Oh, brother, if it were not for the grace, the cleansing blood of Jesus, I don't know where we would be this morning. But you know you are beginning to mature in Christ when you recognize, I bear responsibility in this matter. I have sinned against the Lord. I told Sandra, well, before I tell you that, let me tell you this. I guess it's common knowledge that I get into certain funks at times, right? Because I'm like you. That's so funny. Everybody just like me. But you don't believe it. And I told the Lord this morning, or the other morning, sitting on the couch, I said, do I have to do this anymore? Do I have to go back over there and preach? Lord, I am tired of solving people's problems. I'm tired of hearing it, Lord. I can't even go to a service and enjoy a worship time without being cornered. Challenged. Somebody putting it in my lap. Somebody saying, it's up to you to talk to my daughter about her drug problem. I told her you would help her. I said, Lord, that ain't even me. Do I have to go back over there and do this? The Holy Spirit said, now wait a minute. You tell me how hard it is? No, I said, I'm telling you how tired I am. I said, I've walked and I tried to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And you know, when you start quoting Scripture to God, it's kind of like he says, really, come on, man. I said, I've tried to run this race with patience. And the sweet Holy Spirit said, now, I hear you saying you walked, and I hear you say you've run, but did you know that the entire time I carried you? I carried you? Who do you think you are? You've been in my hand the whole time you were walking and running and all of that other stuff. So I got up and went out to the porch where Sandra was. I know she didn't know the context of it, and I said, Sandra, I'm so glad God's been carrying me the whole time. She said, that's right, brother. You know, what else do you say when you don't know what to say? That's right, brother. When you come to grips with the fact that you are responsible for much of the trouble you have in your life because you put your dependence on men and things rather than on the power of God, then you find yourself in a dark place. And even in that dark place, the Lord becomes a light unto your life. And He does it because He loves you. And He says, God will let me stay there sometimes until He pleads my case and executes justice for me. Can we just take a moment right here and appreciate the ministry of Jesus Christ? He said, until I'll be here listening to the devil trying to undercut me and undermine me and falsely accuse me and falsely accuse my God. I'll have to watch people point their fingers and tell lies. I'll have to put up with all kinds of stuff while the Lord pleads my case. You know what that means? It's the ministry of Jesus today. He stands in the presence of God the Father in the most holy place. And every time He sees you in a situation, He boldly walks up to the Father and says, I'd like to represent him. And Father, I want to tell you something about her. And the Father is so delighted with Jesus. The Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father, that anything the Son does, the Father is moved by it. So the Father says, tell me, Son, tell me all about it. And right this moment, I don't know how it works, see, but Jesus is pleading your case before the Father. He is calling your name. Listen, I'm not just preaching. This is not an allegory. This is not a sermonic illustration. I'm not just trying to make a big deal out of nothing. I'm telling you that as I'm talking to you right now, those of you whose lives are twisted all to pieces and you don't know what to do next, and you could barely raise your hand this morning when we were singing about His name, right this moment, while you sit in darkness and have nowhere else to go and nobody to turn to, right now, your name is being mentioned in the ear of the Father of lights and the Lord of glory, and God will bring you out of this because Jesus knows all about it. He pleads my case in the court of heaven where justice prevails. He's talking about me. But He's not convincing the Father because I'm a good person or a church goer. Boy, I could preach right now. Don't let me forget I put my Bible here. He's not convincing the Father that I'm really a good hard worker and I just stumbled right now. The only thing He says is, Father, He trusted me. My blood washed away His sins. My spirit sanctified Him. You've been adopted Him into our family. He's one of us. He's pleading my case with a family bias. My daddy is the judge.
Come on, preacher.
And my lawyer is my brother.
Come on, preacher.
I can't lose.
Can't lose, preacher.
Not in this courtroom. No, I can't lose in this courtroom.
No, sir.
Because the Father says, well, I don't really have anything against Him.
Come on, preacher.
I'm blessing myself right now, good. I don't really see anything here against Him. I see that something's been erased, something's gone, but I don't have anything here that I can judge Him with. But He says, I'll see that justice is done. I'll make it right. He's pleading my case. We do not have a great high priest that cannot be touched with our weaknesses. but in every point of life was tempted, tested, tried, just like I am, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help and find mercy in the time of need. I don't wish to rush over this lightly. To think that today in heaven, in its eternity there, it's not like time. There are no clocks on the wall in heaven. But today, I was discussed. And my name, he knows my name. And I've never been fond of my name. I never figured out why they named me. Loran, I'm serious. Y'all are laughing at me. Are you laughing at my name? Oh, I've told it many times. One of the most fearful days in my life was the first day of school. Every year. Teacher stands up and says, I'm going to go down the list of names. And when I say your name, raise your hand. Chuck. Bill. Greg. Lee. Lorraine. Lorraine. No, ma'am. And all my butters are going... Loran. She said, Loran. Now that's interesting. Loran. I said, yeah. But to think that that name today echoed in the halls of heaven, and that the God of all creation and the Lord of the universe spoke my name and thought about me and then decided to do something for me, brother, you will never grasp the immenseness of that. You matter to God. And again, this is not sermon material. These are facts. You are known in heaven. And because you are known, justice will be served on your behalf. God is going to work this out. Now, I know you're sitting there in the dark place and the devil's saying, okay, really, listen to the preacher, but he can't even get healed himself. The preacher can't even get healed. The preacher can't even stand up and say he's strong. No, look at him. That's what Satan does. He belittles and humiliates and magnifies weaknesses and our human traits. But Jesus doesn't listen to all that stuff. Only we do. We're the only ones listening to that. And you're saying, I don't know if God can do this, and I don't know if I'm worthy for God to do this. And the Lord would have you understand today, you are not being blessed for any reason except that He loves you.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. When requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard this broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or by calling toll-free at 1-800-251-4024. For additional episodes of Just a Minute by Dr. Tim Hill, visit churchofgod.org.